welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers from Grandview Lodge on Gull Lake in Nisswa. And we're going to be joined by the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers in just a moment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
On September 18, 1947, President Harry Truman signed the National Security Act, effectively creating the United States Air Force as an independent armed service equal to the Army and Navy. Throughout its entire history, the Air Force has played a key role in the defense of our nation while simultaneously conducting numerous peacekeeping and humanitarian missions. By harnessing cutting-edge technology and employing dedicated airmen, the Air Force remains the world leaders in air, space, and cyberspace. Minnesota is proud to have two Air National Guard units, the 133rd Airlift Wing in the Twin Cities and the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth. And let's not forget about our Air Force Reserve brothers and sisters at the 934th Airlift Wing. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in wishing the Air Force a happy 71st birthday. Aim high. Fly, fight, win.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're recording live today from Grandview Lodge in Nisswa at the Fall Conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And joining me now is the president, Greg Peterson. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Greg, you're not only the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officer, but the Brown County Veteran Service Officer since,
2004? 15 years I've been a CVSO.
And before that, you spent almost 24 years in the United States Air Force.
I did.
Glad to have some Air Force in the room
today.
And I
still look young.
Stay tuned. It gets worse. So, but you're up here. Can you tell our listeners, Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, I understand you're coming into a record-breaking year.
We are. We are the official body of all of the county veteran service officers. We obviously have 87 counties in Minnesota. And way back in 1945, the world was seeing that World War II would probably be ending in Europe and Japan would be surrendering, the state of Minnesota made a very appropriate law that said every county must have a veteran service officer for the purpose of assisting those veterans that would be coming back. And there were 16 million serving in World War II, 300,000 from Minnesota. And they wanted someone who had been there, someone who had been in war, to help those that would be coming back from war. And our association is the network that's in between our counties that helps one another out.
And Greg, you've been on the show about every 4 weeks now since you took over as the president. And for years, going back years now, we've had county veteran service officers on because you are the first line of attack. You are you're the people that our veterans should go to for anything veteran related.
Absolutely.
Any kind of problems, any claims, any information, it's your business to know who's out there and all the resources available.
It is. It's daunting.
There's a lot to know. And we've come up here to these conferences off and on, but you have a spring and a fall conference every year, and it's primarily educational, isn't it?
It absolutely is. We have been required for a very long time to have professional education. Now we are tied in with the VA that gives us what's called accreditation. It's similar to being a specialized attorney that can help veterans with their benefits. But with that status, you have to have education, continuing, of course, units every year. And so our spring conference, it's held in a couple different locations, so we can get everybody in there. And then our fall conference here is where one time a year all counties come, and we have 3 days jammed full of education with educators as high as the VA and down to state and local leaders.
And a lot of other folks here. You've got many representatives from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs here helping.
Yes, we do. And they're training classes this morning. These people that just have walked in here for lunch, they've come out of classes that the state was putting on this morning, a couple of different ones.
So for all our veterans that are listening out there on 57 stations in our network, if they've got any kind of a question, any kind of an issue, the first thing they should do is go visit their local county veteran service
office. Visit us or look us up online. We have a nice website, macvso.org. There's a drop-down that has every county veteran service officer's name and their picture and their email and our phone number. And, so they should know that we're all gone right now, and I'm sure we have hundreds of unanswered phone calls at our offices, but we're going to come back with brand-new information to help our veterans and their families and dependents.
We're speaking with Greg Peterson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Greg, what do you think are the most biggest challenges that you've faced since you've taken over the position?
Well, I took over in May, and that was after the past president had resigned, and I thought there would have been challenges, but there really weren't. Our statewide network was so strong in their counties and in our association and all the leaders that we had. I haven't had a whole lot of challenges taking over. I just picked up, righted the ship, and we kept on running.
And, Greg, during the course of the show today, we're going to talk everything county veteran service officer today, but we're going to have on several guests to talk about women's veterans programs. We're going to talk about presumptive illnesses and the Blue Water Navy Act. And then we're going to talk about transportation, because you partner up with the MDVA and DAV of Minnesota, and transportation is a big issue. But we've got a special guest on the stage with us now, State Representative Bob Detmer.
Hi,
Bob.
Tom.
Welcome
Tom.
Back
Great.
To Minnesota
it's
Military
great.
Radio.
Great to be here.
Saw you were up here last night at the banquet, and we told you we were doing the show, and
right.
You had a busy year up on the hill this year.
Yeah, and I know we'll be getting together in a couple of weeks to talk about the different pieces of legislation that was passed on a bipartisan work, and those are some important pieces of legislation that our veterans, our men and women that serve, we wanted to try to get through for our veterans.
And all the folks in this room, County Veteran Service Officers, MDVA, they do a great job to help our veterans.
You know, I get calls from other legislators from other states, and they say, what are you doing in Minnesota? And we're actually a role model, and if you take a look at the people that are attending this conference here, the training, they're trained by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, they're hired by the counties, and their job is to help our veterans, our men and women, get the benefits and answer questions that they have. And I'm glad I was able to be here to see exactly what's going on, because the great training that's going on here, and they'll take that back to their offices and help our veterans. And I get those calls from veterans, and I'll say, have you talked to your veterans, county veteran service officers? And many times they say, who? I said, well, what county do you live in? And I'll pull up the directory, and I'll give them their name and phone number of who they need to call.
That's where everything starts.
That's where everything starts.
All the legislation that you work on every year, everything—it's out. This is the front line. These are the folks that help our veterans.
This is the front line for our men and women.
And Bob, I know we've had some busy years on Vets Day on the Hill, but you see your county veteran service officers, the folks from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, mm-hmm. our veteran service organizations—they're all over there visiting with you all year long.
That's right, and. That's why I think that's why Minnesota is a role model for other states, to see how we conduct ourselves and supporting our men and women who have served. And we want them to stay here in Minnesota.
So. Well, Bob, we're glad you're up in the State House and taking care of our veterans. And Greg, with a guy like this up there, it's a good contact on the
Absolutely.
Hill.
Absolutely. We can't lose.
Yeah.
So, Bob, I'm glad you took some time. I see we got Jerry Kaiser out in the audience. He's smiling as usual. We're going to have him on in a couple of weeks, and he's going to talk about his next honor flight. Thanks for sticking around and joining us for a little bit today. And we got a lot of great folks here from the County Veteran Service Officers. Greg, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Ashley, and we're going to talk about women veterans programs. And that's pretty important, because more and more women are serving
Absolutely. And we have a lot of female service officers, and she is an expert in that topic.
And we got to take care of that. When that many more women are serving today, we got to make sure we've taken care of them, too. And Bob, I'm sure you've seen a lot of those as well.
Oh, yes. You bet.
All right, sir. Bob, I'm glad you joined us today. Greg, we got to take a short break.
Alrighty.
When we come back, we're going to talk about women's veterans programs from Grandview Lodge in Nisswa at the Fall Conference for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording live today from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers from Grandview Lodge on Gull Lake. And my co-host today is Greg Peterson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. And we're pleased to welcome Ashley Langenier today. Ashley, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
I think the last time you were on the show, you were with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
I was, as the Gold Star Family Women Veterans Coordinator.
And you were pretty busy over there. How did you end up becoming the Olmsted County Veteran Service Officer?
You know, a position opened up, and I'm originally from Rochester, so it was a good fit for me.
You got a chance to go home.
I did.
And take care of all the veterans down there.
Yes, yep. Very excited to be there.
And when you were at MDVA, of course, you said you were working with Gold Star Moms and the women veterans, and
correct,
there's more and more women that have served in the military service in the last decade than ever before.
Absolutely, yep. They're the fastest growing population of veterans right now. There's about 2 million women veterans in the country at this point.
So we've talked to Director Kelly out of Minneapolis VA Hospital quite often, and he said that they've rebuilt the women's clinic out there, and they can do almost everything except to deliver babies.
Right. And but they will send you out to the community and cover that for you.
They will cover that
they
for
will.
The ladies, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when he had him on the show, I think 2 weeks ago, I asked them about what happens if a woman veteran goes to the VA medical center and they're nervous. And he says, we've got that taken care of. We've got women volunteers. They'll meet them at the front door, walk them to the clinic, do anything they need to do to try to take care of them.
Absolutely. They do have a separate waiting room. And like you said, they have revamped the Women Veterans Clinic. I know that they are working on construction for a women's health center, which would be a standalone building.
A new one.
A new one, yes. Construction is supposed to complete in 2021. And women will have, because it's a private standalone structure, women will still have the ability to utilize the main VA or if they want to go through that private entrance.
Tell us about what you've learned down in Olmsted County since you've become the County Veteran Service Officer.
All right. Well, down in Olmsted, you know, personally, myself, being from Rochester, returning to that community, you know, none of my friends had served, and assimilating back into that community was a little bit difficult for myself. Years later, when my career brought me back to that community, which would happen to be where I grew up and where I enlisted from, it's an honor to serve as the Olmsted County Service Officer and give back to that community. I spent time in the service organizations as a child with my father, who's a Vietnam veteran, and to help create a community of women veterans where those women don't feel so out of place as I once did. But coming from the state of Minnesota, I had a lot to learn as a County Veteran Service Officer in regards to additional state and local benefits that I hadn't been utilizing at that point.
And Greg, did you say you're having more and more women as County Veteran Service Officers these days?
Yes, we do. I'd say we would have about a third, maybe, that's in our association.
So you've had to alter some of the things you're doing as an association as well?
Nope. They're all veterans.
They're all veterans. But there are more and more women that have served, so there's more and more demand, and I imagine the women veterans are pretty comfortable. They come to your office, Ashley. And
absolutely, because there's two of us, and I think that's nice. You know, if a woman does have a sensitive issue that she wants to see a female, I think every district in the state has women veteran service officers so that they can go to a neighboring county and work in conjunction with
that's
their
true.
Own county so that they can feel very comfortable in speaking.
So what are some of the issues that are unique to women?
There are quite a few unique issues. Women veterans tend to be more racially and ethnically diverse than male veterans. They're typically younger. They're more likely to be divorced and single parents. Like I said, they're the fastest growing population of veterans, and right now they're also the fastest growing contingent of homeless veteran population. Women veterans are often the caretakers of their family, which means that they typically take care of themselves last. So statistics also show that women veterans underutilize their benefits, such as their VA benefits, in comparison to male veterans. So having unique programs in place to reach out to women veterans and inform them of their benefits and the right to use them is incredibly vital to this group of women.
We're speaking with Greg Peterson and Ashley Langenier from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers at Grandview Lodge on Minnesota Military Radio. And Ashley, I want to come back to you on that. How do you provide outreach to the women veterans? How do you find them? How do you let them know you're there to help?
Well, personally, in Olmsted County, we work with our local service organizations, especially the DAV Chapter 28, to honor and recognize the service of our local women veterans. A few years ago, we started an annual gala. The 2019 gala was our third annual, and we had 187 women there. So it just started with word of mouth, flyers around town, and it's just amazing to be in a room completely comprised of women veterans who have served from all eras. We have a couple World War II women who come, all the way up to women who have enlisted as most recent as 2014. So we had a span of 70 years of service in our room this past year. So they come, they learn about their benefits, gather resources, and enjoy the camaraderie. This past August, we hosted our first outdoor retreat for women. That was a collaboration between the DAV, Olmsted County Veterans Services, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Women Veterans Program, where we featured hiking, group sessions around a bonfire, horseback riding, yoga, and that event really helped with alleviation of mental health symptoms. And 91% of women reported that assisted them mentally. And due to the success of that, we're going to continue that annually, hopefully, as well. So we meet women where they are. You'll find us at local events and just out in the communities, reaching out to women where we feel that they are. And
but you're still taking good care of the guys down there, too.
We sure are, yep. We you know, it's equitable access to the same care that every veteran earned. And we take care of everybody.
So, Ashley, the time you spent at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs had to be really good training for what you're doing now.
Absolutely. It's been 10 years since I started working in veteran services. I started at the federal level at VBA, and I always knew that I wanted to get back into the community where I came from and work one-on-one with those veterans. But I have just accumulated immense knowledge in veteran services from state, federal, and now in the local community, and it's just amazing to be able to work in the community that you grew up in.
So for all our veterans listening out there and on our network of stations, if they've got any issues, men or women, in anything related to their time in service, they don't actually have to go to their own county. They can go to any county veteran service
officer. You sure can. Yep, they just need to go to macvso.org. And they can search by county and wherever they so choose to go.
And for our women veterans out there, if they're more comfortable talking to a woman, a lady, CVSO, they can just pick one and go
sure
see
can.
Them.
They sure can. Yep.
So any of them want to come down to Rochester, you're welcome to see them.
Especially at our outreach events when we meet a lot of women that then, you know, and build that relationship and that rapport with us, that do come see us after that.
Greg, sounds like our veterans can go shopping for a county veteran service officer. They can go anywhere they want.
You bet.
That's got to make them feel comfortable and make them feel better that you're there to make sure that any issue they have, whether it's filing a claim or just figuring out what their benefits are.
You know, or do they need a walker or a wheelchair or a toilet riser? We get a lot of calls on that. And through our partnership with the DAV Donor Connect, mm-hmm. you know, we can connect people all across the state that need equipment. I had a call this morning looking for something.
Absolutely. If we don't physically do it ourselves, we know who does, and we will get the veteran what they need.
Seems like I've heard that story before from our county veteran service
Absolutely.
Officers. We'll either help you or we'll find somebody who can.
Yes.
So stop by and see us. Call, make an appointment. Even if you don't know where your discharge certificate is, come and see you because you can help them find it.
We can find that, too.
Oh, absolutely. There's a statewide database, and even we can get into the national archives and find that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, if any of our veterans out there have some type of medical issue related to their service and time in service, they start that claim process with their county veteran service officer.
That's what we'd like them to do. It's a difficult. The VA is a huge system to navigate on their own, and we've always have been told that they felt like that the process was made far easier by working. We're their advocate. We always like to say we don't work for the VA, we work for you, and we're their advocate, and the process can be made far simpler by letting us guide them through it.
So the best thing for them to do is come see their county veteran service officer. You'll help them fill out the claim form. You'll help them document the claim.
Absolutely.
You'll tell them what the process is and help them get started.
Yes, sir.
So they can get up to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and get that great help.
Absolutely.
I'm a patient out there, and they do a wonderful job.
I am as well.
We've talked about that before.
Yes, my father, my husband, myself, we do 100% of our care there.
We're lucky in Minnesota to have such a great medical center, aren't we?
We are, yeah. great medical centers, even with St. Cloud and Fargo
and
right against our border.
All the community-based outpatient clinics work great, too. Yeah. Ashley, I want to thank you for joining us again today. Good to see you.
Good to see you as
good
well.
Good luck
Thanks
down in Rochester. And Greg, when we come back, we're going to talk to Douglas Landsteiner, and we're going to talk about presumptive illnesses and the Blue Water Navy bill that's so much in the news lately. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers from Grandview Lodge. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers at Grandview Lodge in Gull Lake. And my co-host today has been Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And we're joined now by the Martin County Veteran Service Officer and a Navy veteran, Doug Landsteiner. Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Glad to be here, Tom.
How long were you in the Navy?
20 years.
20 years in the Navy. Good for you. And how long have you been the Martin County Veteran Service Officer?
18 years.
18 years. That sounds like a couple of careers, Doug.
It does.
Well, one of the things we want to talk about today is what they refer to as presumptive illnesses. Of course, I'm kind of familiar with this, being a Vietnam veteran, and I suffer from one of them, a little problem from a thing called Agent Orange.
Right.
Herbicide we used in Vietnam to clear some terrain, so we had a kill zone, but it affects all services. And can you explain to our listeners what is a presumptive illness?
Well, the VA presumes that any condition on the VA presumptive list was caused by military service, even though there may not be a medical reasoning that defines or proves the condition.
And what type of illnesses do they have on that list, Doug?
Well, there's all kinds of different groups or categories, and some of the illnesses, chronic diseases, tropical diseases. Of course, with Agent Orange, you're familiar with prostate cancer, type 2 diabetes, ischemic heart condition, Parkinson's, and, you know, there's 14 of the diseases on the Agent Orange list currently.
Some skin issues and some things that really occur more often in the veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange than in the rest of the population.
Right.
And so if our veterans has something like diabetes or skin condition, Parkinson, those things, then you help them file a claim with the VA?
Sure do.
And if it's on the presumptive list, then it's pretty much automatic that they're going to get approved?
Absolutely, as long as they meet the other criteria. The VA has to confirm that they served in country or meet the requirement for that category.
And more often than not, that's shown on their DD-214.
In most cases, it is.
Yeah. And if it's not, then you have to look for some orders or some other proof that you served.
Right.
Tell us about the claims process. If someone comes in and they've got one of these presumptive diseases and they want to get some help from the VA, how do they file a claim and how long does it take to get some help?
Well, the first thing they do is they make an appointment with their CVSO, and once they get started, they do form paperwork. They have to sign a POA and agree that the POA will work with the County Veteran Service Officer. Then they do the formal claim or an intent to file if they're not ready to formalize the claim. The 526 EZ is the common standard form for initial claims.
So. I'm having flashbacks to the time in my Air Force. There was a form for everything, wasn't there?
Yeah, there is.
So as a County Veteran Service Officer, you've got your forms to fill out as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of forms.
How long does it take to have a claim process today?
Well, it varies. Some claims are very fast, and other claims are very slow. The VA has made a lot of improvements, and for a while we saw a lot of the claims moving along faster. Sometimes they have to work the bugs out of new processes, and sometimes there's a slowdown. I'd say most claims from start to finish will probably get a rating decision within 8 to 12 months.
So the better you can document the claim and process it, the easier the process is?
Right.
Greg, we've heard for years that there was a big backlog on claims. Has that pretty well worked itself through the system?
I think that, the claims are working themselves through the system, but you know, we're constantly dumping in more claims, so we've got a new claim coming right in the behind it. you know, there's never zero claims in the system.
And, of course, a lot more veterans since 9/11, 2001, because a lot more people have served and signed up and gone. And,
that's true. And the VA has changed their way of how they work claims. They kind of work them on a nationwide basis now versus an individual regional office basis. So that's helped speed things up.
We're speaking with Greg Peterson and Doug Landsteiner from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers at Grandview Lodge on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Doug, I want to come back to you. There's another issue that's been in the news all year, and it's the Blue Water Navy bill. It's my understanding that the Brown Water Navy were covered for exposure to Agent Orange, and that would have been the Navy that were on the rivers and inland.
Fast boats, right.
And, but then there's a whole other group of Navy that have never been covered, and they refer to that as Blue Water Navy. Can you explain that?
Well, Blue Water sailors serve on vessels off the coast of Vietnam during the war era, and so they didn't necessarily go ashore. Some of them did, but a lot of them never came anywhere near the actual shoreline.
Now, did some of those ships must have transported some of the Agent Orange, or maybe the Agent Orange was in the water coming out of the rivers, and it got soaked up in the ships. How did they get exposed?
Well, that's I think the general theory is the runoff waters from the landmass in the rivers and in the Gulf and out in the oceans. Also, there's the lift and drift. I mean, in humid areas, it's fairly common knowledge that herbicides will lift and drift. But the primary cause for, I believe, the blue water sailors being included is because of the runoffs and mixing in the waters and so on. And on those ships, they take in the salt water and desalinate it. And, of course, they use it for washing and drinking and showering and everything else. So they can't get all the dioxins out is the prevalent evidence.
So, Doug, what's the status of the Blue Water Bill? I heard that it was passed, but it's kind of on hold until about the first of the year. Is that still true?
They're taking claims now, but they're holding them, and they're going to begin processing, I believe, January 1st of,
yep.
of 2020.
So, Greg, is it important to get your claim filed as soon as possible?
It's important for the point of what we would call the effective date of the benefits. So for you're going to get compensation. You're going to get a disability check if you have an Agent Orange presumptive condition. And that might be a lot of money, but it would also make the difference on eligibility for a wide range of benefits, even benefits that may go to your children, education benefits, people who are rated very high, 100%, there's going to be benefits for a spouse, free health insurance. You know, all these things are free, and no taxes.
So even if they don't process the Blue Water claims until the first of the year, right. If you file a claim today,
here's a good example.
Time running.
A lot of our Minnesotans are going to go south for the winter, come in and file what we call an intent to file. So we're in September, that'll give them a 1st of October effective date. They return from down south, April or May, get back in, they'll finish up the claim. And it might not get done until the 1st of October next year. But they're going to get 12
back.
Months retroactive pay.
Very good. Now, Doug, I understand that the VA is working to try to figure out which ships would qualify for the Blue Water Navy bill. Have you heard anything on that?
Well, I've heard that they are going to do research and try to get a list together of all those ships they believe meet the were within the 12 mile territorial limits of the shore of Vietnam. So
12 miles of Vietnam and Cambodia, you said, Greg?
And Cambodia, yeah.
So the VA is working through a list now to see which ships were in the area from whatever year to year it was. And
right.
It's a long period of time, isn't it?
Say that again?
It's a long period of time. It was over many years that the ships were over there.
Yeah, it was during the whole war era and before.
Okay. So anything, any final things you want to say to our Navy veterans out there?
Well, just find your closest county veteran service officer or equivalent if you're in a state that doesn't have county veteran service officers and get your claims filed.
So call them up, stop in to see them.
Absolutely.
Just go in and chat, bring your DD-214. You might not need them today, but you might need your CVSO someday.
Absolutely. Ask questions. The CVSOs are there for you.
Set up your file and get started.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's good. Doug, I want to thank you for joining us again today. And, Greg, we got one more segment. We've still got to get a message from the commissioner. And then we're going to talk about transportation and all your partners on that. So, Doug, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live today from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers from Grandview Lodge on Gull Lake. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers at Grandview Lodge in Gull Lake in Nisswa. My co-host today has been Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and we're joined now by Lori Brook, who is the Becker County Veteran Service Officer since 2006, and you're a veteran of the United States Army.
I am. Is there any other?
Well, there was a thing called the Air Force that I was in. Does that count?
Oh.
Country club, I know.
Yeah, I know.
But then Army people like to sleep on the ground, right?
We do. We do. But we need you to get places where there is water.
Well, the Air Force and the Navy just kind of transport people.
Yeah.
We'll leave the fighting to the Army and the Marines.
That's what the Marines are good
Who's
for.
Who's the Marines? Oh, the Marines break stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But you did serve in the United States Army, and now you've been a county veteran service officer for quite some time. Do you enjoy it?
I think it's the best job in the world.
Because you get to talk to veterans all day, every day.
All day, every day. The best group of people to talk to.
Now, we were talking about women's veterans programs a little while ago. Are you seeing more and more women?
We are. It's probably one of the largest demographic that's on the upswing. The growth is women veterans.
More and more serving. And we hear from the Minnesota National Guard that there's more of them serving now than ever.
They are.
So Johnny's over here writing notes. We won't pay any attention
okay.
to him. We want to talk about transportation today.
Okay.
And it's a big issue for our veterans because they want to get to their medical appointments. Some of them can't drive sometimes. And can you tell us how you work on transportation and who you partner with?
We partner with a lot of different agencies. DAV Transportation Network partners with the federal government, with the VA. They get grants from the MDVA, and they partner with CVSOs. And what that allows them to do is that the county veteran service officers can save their funding. So you don't have county vans that are driving on the highway next to each other. They allow the transportation network to take veterans to and from the VA, and they can use then those dollars to transport veterans to other appointments, whether they be local. So they all work together. So we use federal, using the VA, state, CVSOs, and the DAV of Minnesota.
And the DAV of Minnesota has been probably more active than any other DAV across the country, hasn't it?
It has. And they did probably about 10 years ago, the DAV of Minnesota did a pilot that had never been done in the country where they, instead of the vans coming from the VA going out into the community and going back, which is the standard way of doing things, they put the vans in the community, picked up veterans along the way to their appointments, and then on the way back dropped veterans off, which was a big dollar savings for the VA and for the communities. So instead of making four trips, they're literally just making two.
Two trips. And one of the key things we found out some years ago from the DAV was all of those drivers are volunteers.
They are volunteers. There's right now over 100 volunteers in the state of Minnesota that drive veterans to and from their appointments.
And do they need to be a volunteer to drive? Do you need anything special? Do you need an active license and a good driver's record?
And you have to pass a VA physical. So okay. You have to go up to the VA and you have to pass a physical.
So if any of our listeners are thinking about doing that, you'd accept a driver, just do it one day a week or one day a month?
As much or as little as they would like to volunteer, they're needed. That's probably the number one need that the transportation network has right now is drivers.
And if they're interested in doing that, I'm sure they can contact their local county veteran service officer, or they can go to davmn.org, and they can sign up right there online. We've had Stephan Whitehead on the show quite often, and of course he was the adjutant DAV of Minnesota. Now he's a national commander.
He is, and he's very supportive. But yes, they can call CVSOs or, like you said, the DAV of Minnesota, and they will put them in contact with the nearest dispatcher. and they can help them out getting started with the volunteering and getting the physical scheduled. And that physical then is paid for. The veteran does not have, or the volunteer does not have to pay for that.
Very good. We're talking to Greg Peterson and Lori Brook from the Fall Conference of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers from Grandview Lodge on Minnesota Military Radio. Lori, do you have any stats? How many miles have we driven our veterans?
I do. In 2018, it was 1.479 million miles.
Oh,
yeah. And to date, in 2019, 765,000 miles have been driven by the volunteers.
Do we get any feedback from our veterans on that program?
We do. I have actually one that is... just happened on September 9th is we transported the oldest veteran that the program has transported. That veteran was 101 years old.
Oh, my.
And was thrilled to be able to go to the VA and make their appointment and had a lot of stories to tell and thought it was the most valuable benefit that he had come in contact with, and it took him till he was 101 to find it.
101 years old. Road trip. We're going on a road trip.
Yes.
Made his day, I'll bet.
Yes.
So that's got to be one of the things you talked about to veterans when they come see you quite often.
It is. And one of the things that you hear a lot is the companionship, veterans getting together in this van, and that they learn from each other things that they can talk about that they have in common, the history. They also check on each other's well-being. If they haven't seen their buddy in a while, they ask, and the drivers actually check on each other. If they have a veteran they haven't seen that they know has an appointment every month, and that veteran has not been in the van, they actually ask the drivers to check on it, and they do a wellness check.
Just so stop, knock on the door, how you doing?
How you doing? And they'll ask a CVSO, we haven't seen Ralph in a while. Is he doing okay?
Greg, we've covered a lot of topics today on this show. Your county veteran service officers are pretty busy.
They are. Oh, they're busy all the time, every day. I wanted to say, just put a little plug in here, I just got a DAV van in Brown County, and I am looking for volunteer drivers. So give me a call at 507-233-6636.
So all our listeners out there, if you've got some time on your hand and a good driving record, give a call to your county veteran service officer or go to davmn.org and sign up to be a volunteer driver today and help your fellow veterans get to their medical appointments.
Absolutely. It's a great feeling when you can carry America's heroes to a needed doctor's appointment. You get a lot of satisfaction from doing that.
Lori, I want to thank you for joining us today. And Greg, it's been great to join you and all your fellow County Veteran Service Officers up here at Grandview Lodge. We do have to take just a short break here because we have a message from Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's the commissioner.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is proud to be a strong partner with the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. The CVSOs, as we call them, are county employees who help veterans and their families obtain benefits related to their military service. In Minnesota, all 87 counties are represented by a CVSO. Minnesota's CVSOs are among the best in the nation. They are well-trained, professional, and understand how to navigate the complex VA system. CVSOs are the first stop or the point of contact for veterans and service as their personal advocate. Navigating the claims process is challenging, and many veterans often don't know the right questions to ask. That's where CVSOs step in and help veterans access the benefits they may be eligible for. CVSOs do important work. They sit across from men and women who have worn the uniform and served their country. Minnesota is really lucky to have such a strong, passionate group of CVSOs. As a state, we have a history of leading the way when it comes to innovation and forward thinking. Thank you to all of our CVSOs who day in and day out serve the veterans of this great state.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Greg, we've had a good time today here up at Grandview Lodge, and sounds like Commissioner Herkey is pretty proud of his county veteran service officers.
He is.
You work with them. You work with the MBVA very closely.
Very closely, and they have a lot of staff in very specialized areas too. Homeless veterans, dental benefits that they have, claims, legislative affairs. They have got every aspect of veterans' needs covered at MDBA.
And you're up here at this fall conference providing resources and training to all your county veteran service officers. And I'll bet you've got a busy afternoon coming to finish that
we
up.
We do. I was just looking at that schedule. So we got to get back. I see the room's cleared out here.
Yeah, everybody left us, and that's okay. I'll head back to the Twin Cities. But it's been fun to come up here and join you and tell your story. And maybe we'll get a chance to do that again next year. And thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. We love it.
And Lori, thanks for you. Thank you for joining us today, too.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
We're just about out of time. If you've got a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us, send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Greg Peterson, Ashley Langanier, Doug Landsteiner, Lori Brook, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk to the Hastings Veterans Home and learn about the Ecolab Yellow Ribbon Program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.